From VOA, Press Conference USA, here is your host, Carol Castillo.
Hello, I'm Kim Lewis, and welcome to a special edition of Press Conference USA on the Voice of America as we celebrate 50 years of hip-hop music. We open the show with none other than the Sugar Hill Gang and their legendary hit, Rapper's Delight, from WMG and Sugar Hill record label.
The hip, you don't stop. Rock it out, baby, rubber to the boogity, bang, bang, the boogie to the boogity beat. Now what you hear is not a test, I'm rapping to the beat. And me, the groove, and my friends are gonna try to move your feet. You see, I am Wonder Mike, and I like to say hello. Up to the black, to the white, the red, and the brown, and the purple, and yellow. But first, I gotta bang, bang, the boogie to the boogie, say up, jump the
joining me is my colleague, music director for VOA 1, and host of today's Hit Countdown and Soul Lounge, it's Shauna Renee. Shauna, thank you so much for joining me.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Well, Shauna, let's go back to the heart of the Bronx, New York. It's August 11th, 1973. What started as an underground party in the basement of a house exploded into one of the most influential cultural movements that has been embraced by people around the world. So tell us more about the birth of hip hop.
It has been officially written that the birth of hip hop started at that party in 1973. And from there, it has exploded into a worldwide phenomenon and a whole entire culture. I think it's really important, though, to note that the birth of hip hop actually began with the defunding of arts education in inner city schools, especially in New York City. I say that because prior to hip hop, anyone who was interested in music, you think about your R&B bands, your soul bands, your funk bands, your jazz bands, these were children who were learning how to play instruments and then eventually became adults who got into the music industry and were playing instruments, singing, learning how to read music, these kinds of things. When the arts education in the inner cities were cut, these opportunities were not available to young people. But you still had young people who had a natural gift for music, a natural gift for art. And so they found themselves then relying upon what was available to them. And in most inner city homes, you would at least find one record player, like, you know, your parents would have a record player, and then they'd have a collection of records. And so the birth of hip hop really came from young people at that time in the early 70s, the mid 70s, saying, we want to create music. So we'll just use the turntable. And in the instance of MCs, which now when we think about hip hop rather than DJs, which is how it started, we think about MCs, also the microphone. So the birth of it really grew out of, and this is the case in most cultures, it just grew out of a necessity to use what was available.
And one of the more influential pioneers of hip hop is Joseph Sadler, better known as Grandmaster Flash. Born in Barbados, he and his family immigrated to the Bronx. He is known for cutting, scratching, and mixing music. Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five were inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 2007, becoming the first hip-hop act to be honored. Well, Shauna, can you tell us more about what is cutting, scratching, and mixing music, and what role did it play in the early stages of hip-hop?
So when we think about cutting, scratching, and mixing, if you can kind of think back to probably the earliest images that you've ever seen of hip hop music, again, from the 70s and 80s, you think about a DJ. And so the DJ is actually standing there, usually in front of two turntables. And the idea of cutting and scratching really came from wanting to sort of elongate breakbeats. So a lot of these people, young people, again, were growing up on the music that their parents listened to. So there was a lot of James Brown, especially at this time too. Disco was starting to become popular, and you would have these breaks in the music. So there were just the music. You didn't have any lyrics there. And so what they would do with cutting and scratching essentially was to take that break and elongate it by playing it over and over again. But the easiest way to do that was to let the break play on one turntable and then cue it up on the next turntable and then continue to go back and forth. And then what Grandmaster Flash and there were several other DJs at the time would start to do is to play around and start scratching the record. So when hip hop, when you heard the like that was scratching and mixing. So it was just, again, it was creating music out of what was available, taking the sounds of the James Brown, taking in some instances, like the sounds of the P-Funk movement and creating something new out of it and using two turntables to do it. So that's the foundation of hip hop music. The DJ is the foundation of hip hop music. Now, it eventually, of course, as I mentioned earlier, it eventually became a more MC-centered art form. The rapper became the centerpiece. But early back in the days, it was all about the DJ.
Yes, and rapping is also a huge part of hip-hop music. And Run DMC out of Hollis, Queens, New York, became one of the most famous and influential hip-hop groups of the 1980s. And here they are with one of their biggest hits, Walk This Way, from BMG Rights Management and Profile Records Incorporated. Shauna, would you say that rapping is a branch of hip hop, or is it its own genre of music, or how did they merge?
Well, rapping is most definitely part of hip hop. Hip hop is a culture. Hip hop music, rap music, I think when you look at it in terms of how we categorize musical expression in the United States could be considered a genre, but it's very important to understand that hip hop is a whole culture. It's music, it's art, so, you know, it's dance. So you've got the MC, you've got the DJ, you've got the breakdancer, you've got the street artist. It's all part of a culture. But rapping came to be, again, in the early 70s and moving on into the late 70s, you had the DJ as the foundation. But the DJ kind of needed a hype guy. He needed someone to tell everybody, throw your hands in the air, wave them like you just don't care. Or, you know, to talk about how good the DJ is, how, you know, how fly, how fresh the DJ is. And that's where the MC, the master of ceremonies, came into play in hip hop culture. And so as the MCs began to say, okay, let me take this opportunity, not just to hype the DJ, but to hype myself. And now I want to make my rhymes a little more complex, and I'm going to start throwing in metaphors and similes and, you know, using my vocabulary, because I think a lot of folks unfortunately don't realize that many of these young people were extremely talented and very smart. And so they were using these things that they learned in school and a lot of this creative energy that was inside of them to create these more complex rhymes. And all of the sudden, well, not all of a sudden, but over a course of time, the MC then became the focal point of the hip hop musical expression. And the DJ kind of fell into the background. But around the time when Run DMC was out, I mean, the DJ was still very much part of the culture. You know, there were artists like Eric B and Rakim. Well, Eric B was the DJ. Rakim was the rapper. So you still had a focus on the person who was on the turntables. And then as music started to progress and the culture started to progress, those DJs also became producers. So it grew slowly but surely. It grew into what we see now, where you have the MC or the rapper, if you will, at the forefront.
And in looking at the culture of hip hop, I just wanted to take a look at the geography of hip hop. And before we get into the East Coast, West Coast aspect of it, just wanted to talk a little bit about the influence from the islands like Barbados, the West Indies, Jamaica. What influence did they have on the development of hip hop?
Well, I think most people would tell you that from the islands, the West Indies, Jamaica probably had the largest impact on hip hop music. And that's because so many of the pioneers were actually either immigrants themselves or they were the children of Jamaican immigrants. So when you have a group of people who all grew up listening to a particular kind of music, but then they sort of moved into a completely different environment, that music is going to shift and it's going to change. So in hip hop, they had the sound, they were called sounds. You had big giant speakers, you'd have a DJ, they'd be playing the music, the reggae or the dance hall music, and then they pull it back. And then again, you would have an MC who would often, you know, talk over the record. So all of that in hip hop actually came from the Jamaican sound system culture, the dance hall sound system culture. So again, remembering that these young people grew up listening to either parents who may have still been very young were doing this, or perhaps their older brothers and sisters, aunts and uncles were still very much part of this culture. So when they came over to the United States, they brought it with them. And when we talk about geography, it's very important to understand that where you are influences the sound. So dance hall has a very distinct sound because it's the music of an island. You know, it's sunny, you've got the sand, and you've got the beach, and the way of life is a little bit slower. But once that sound, once that moved into New York, then the sound got a bit, it was a little harder. It was a little more aggressive because the environment was. I say sometimes it went from the literal jungle to the concrete jungle. And then even the things that one would discuss become very different because, you know, hip hop is a reflection of the environment and those who are living in it. So what we're talking about now becomes a bit different. So you cannot separate the Caribbean influence from hip hop music at all. I don't think that would be fair, but I think it is, though, very important to recognize and understand that hip hop is distinctly African American. It is music of the African American experience that, yes, was influenced by the children of Caribbean immigrants.
Okay, very good. And also looking at the East Coast, West Coast, and even Southern hip hop, what are the differences and why was there so much competition?
So let's start with the differences. The differences go back to what I mentioned earlier. It really had a lot to do with the environment. It had a lot to do with also the kinds of music that people were listening to. So remember, the story of hip hop cannot be told outside of the context of the story of African American people. So when you think about the hip hop that comes out of New York and you think about the kind of music that they were sampling in areas around New York, this is the music that kind of came out of the southeastern region. Some of the music kind of came up from maybe like Georgia and parts of Alabama. Then when you look at the West Coast sound was very different because the Black music that was being played on the West Coast at the time as migrants started to move up from Louisiana and other parts of the South sounded a bit different. So their sounds are different because the base of the music is a bit different, right? So you may find that I certainly found this when like Dr. Dre came out with The Chronic. And when I started listening to the songs that he was sampling as someone who grew up in Detroit, I wasn't very familiar with those songs. But these were songs that were very popular in the 70s and the early 80s on the West Coast. And the same thing with the South. You had a lot of music in Southern hip hop that was influenced by what? The blues, you know, influenced by gospel even, because the Southern hip hop culture was born in the Bible Belt. So not to say that hip hop is gospel, but those influences were there. So sonically, that is why you had a lot of those influences. And then culturally as well. Again, thinking back to what life is like in New York versus what life is like in Atlanta versus what life is like in LA. There's a different vibe, there's a different vibration, a different tone, a different texture, a different way that folks move through the world. Also, it's important to remember that the West Coast hip hop became very popular around the time of like NWA. And NWA is a controversial group, but they were talking about what was happening in Los Angeles at that time. Police brutality was a big issue in Los Angeles at that time. The gang culture, a big issue in Los Angeles at that time. So their music too was different because it was a reflection of what was happening to them. Again, versus on the East Coast, there were other things happening there that they were talking about. So it is all hip hop because, again, hip hop is an African American, it's part of the culture, but we are not a monolith in any way. And so that's why you have those distinct sounds between like your East Coast, your West Coast, and your Southern hip hop expressions.
Well, it's time now for a quick break. And when we come back, we'll have more on one of the most influential music genres in the history of the world, hip hop music. You're listening to Press Conference USA on the Voice of America. I'm Kim Lewis, and our guest is my colleague, music director for VOA One and host of today's Hit Countdown and host of Soul Lounge, Shauna Renee. This is a reminder that our Press Conference USA podcast is available for free download on our website at voanews.com/PCUSA. You may also follow us on Twitter or connect with us on Facebook at Carol Castiel, VOA. And be sure to tune in to our sister current affairs shows this weekend, Encounter with guest host Rick Pantaleo and two guests who will debate China's growing presence on the international stage, and Issues in the News with yours truly as moderator. And my panelists this week will be VOA White House Bureau Chief Patsy Wittakuswara and VOA Executive Producer Steve Reddish. They will analyze this week's top stories and also give you a taste of what is weighing on their minds this week. Be sure to tune in to all of the current affairs shows every weekend on the Voice of America. Now back to our program with my colleague, music director for VOA One and host of today's Hit Countdown and Soul Lounge, Shauna Renee. Well, Shauna, we could not have a hip hop show without mentioning some of the most influential women who have left their mark on hip hop. There's Queen Latifah, Lauryn Hill, Missy Elliott, Lil Kim, Salt-N-Pepa, just to name a few. Shauna, would you say that Queen Latifah and some of the other women of earlier hip hop fame, first of all, what was it like for them back in the day?
Well, I imagine it wasn't easy. I imagine it was as difficult as it is even for those of us in 2023 that find ourselves in male-dominated spaces. Women, I think, were challenged with not only gaining respect as MCs and even as DJs, but because it was such a male-dominated industry and form of expression, they were also challenged with forging sort of their own image. And I find it very interesting in the beginning of hip hop, especially when you talk about your Queen Latifahs and you talk about your MC Lights and you talk about your Roxanne Shantays. I mean, they understood that in order to be respected, they had to come out sort of as one of the boys. So if you look at those artists early on and you see the way they dressed, you kind of see the way they carried themselves. And even in some of their lyrics, it was very much about, I am a woman, but I'm a woman in a man's world. And so I need to kind of, you know, buck up and let them know that you will respect me. And then when Salt-N-Pepa came along, it softened a little bit. I think Salt-N-Pepa realized that though we are women in a man's world, we are still women. And so we can dress a little differently. We can dance. We can talk about things that women talk about outside of trying to gain respect from men or outside of even our relationships. And so they then, I believe, opened the door, if you will, for artists like Lil' Kim and artists like Nicki Minaj and artists like Meg Thee Stallion. Now, I don't know that Salt-N-Pepa would necessarily want to compare themselves to those artists, but I think that it cannot be denied that they were the ones, those women, Salt-N-Pepa, were the ones that sort of gave women permission to show up as women, whatever that meant for the individual in hip hop. And then again, you have artists like Missy Elliott, you have artists like Lauryn Hill, for example, who came in and said, okay, I'm just going to come in and do my thing and talk about what is important to me. I'm going to express myself, especially Missy Elliott, in ways that no one expects. but you will, in essence, respect, because it is an authentic version or an authentic expression of who I am as a woman in this industry. And hip hop would not be where it is without these women. There's no way that you can create a cultural form of expression and eliminate the perspective and the voice of 50% of the people who belong to that culture. So they are as important as any male hip hop artist you will ever hear mentioned.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. And also wanted to mention some of the songs, the hip hop songs, have been quite offensive to women, some even denigrating or belittling women. Why was this type of music promoted?
Okay, so that's a whole show in and of itself. I think, again, it's important to remember two things. Number one, that hip hop music, it started out as, I'm not going to say it's there in 2023, but it started out as, again, reflective of the culture of what was happening in these inner city or in these predominantly Black areas around the country. And so, unfortunately, a lot of that kind of language, those ideas about women, young Black people are living in a patriarchal society just like everybody else, a misogynistic society just like everybody else. So, you know, I often hesitate to say, oh, this was an issue in hip hop more so than any other genre of music. I think it's just that because hip hop was just fearless and unapologetic about expressing the way that young people were thinking, the way young people were talking, the way young people were behaving, it came out in the music. But let's put a bookmark there and say it only came out in certain people's music. Everybody wasn't doing that. So to say that, you know, hip hop music in general is problematic because there are problematic artists is unfair, because for every problematic artist that you have, you also have an artist that was just either literally uplifting women or just not degrading them. So it's really important to remember that. And I always encourage people, don't search for other artists. I mean, if you know who Snoop Dogg is, do you know who Common is? I mean, there's always going to be someone on the other side of that. Now, why is that kind of music promoted? Well, there's several theories about why that is. Some would say because once hip hop became really popular, there were powers that cared to see certain communities grow and evolve, that understood that if you continue to push music that was degrading and push music that was low level, low vibrational, then those young people would stay in those places. Other people say, you know, it was just about the money. It was what people bought. I think it's also important to understand that the majority of hip hop music these days is bought by non-Black people. So the question is, why is it that people outside of the community seem to enjoy the kinds of music that degrades members of that community? I feel like that's really a question for those folks.
You answered it pretty well, though. It gives our audience an idea of why the music was promoted. But just for the sake of time, we're going to move on and just really look at hip hop's mass appeal. It has had quite an appeal for over five decades. This is the year that hip hop is celebrating its 50th anniversary of being out there in the world as hip hop music. So why has it had such a powerful effect really on the world?
Well, for one, understanding hip hop is the unapologetic expression of youth culture in America among, again, African-American or, you know, African folks of the diaspora. And everywhere in the world, you have young people. And as time moves on, young people will have their own ways of expressing themselves. They will continue to look for forms of expression that give them space to let the world know what they appreciate and what they don't appreciate. And so hip hop just came out as sort of the perfect vehicle to do that. And I think it's important also to remember that because hip-hop is a diasporic, and I'm talking about the African diasporic, is a diasporic music. Anywhere that you have people of the diaspora, right? So you're talking about the African continent, you're talking about parts of Europe, you're talking about the Americas, South and North America, the Caribbean, any place where you have people of the diaspora, there's going to be something that attracts them. Because the foundation of all of those expressions come from the same place. So that is a large part of why it is so popular. Now, outside of places where you have large numbers of folks from the diaspora, again, you have young people. And hip hop is about rebelliousness and not the negative form of rebellion. Not though I'm just trying to be bad or I'm just trying to buck the system, but people who are saying, I'm actually trying to invoke change, real change, change for the better. I want to be heard. Things are changing and I want the world to understand that now we're looking at the world a bit differently and we want people to hear us. And so hip hop is a great way to do that, just like poetry, just like literature, just like any other form of music. And so I think that's why it's especially popular. It's one of the most popular forms of music around the world. And I think it will continue to be. And I think it's also very important to realize that African-American culture is intentionally or not, depending on who's actually spreading it, is probably spread throughout the world more than folks realize. And so it becomes a part of American culture. And in other parts of the country, there's people aspire to live like they believe certain American folks live. So there's also that part of it too, you know, hip hop being an expression of success, money, riches, that kind of thing.
Yes, and I guess we can say that it is here to stay for future generations. And I don't know what kind of direction that it will be taking for years ahead, or if there's anything that could replace it.
Well, I don't think there's anything that's going to replace it. I think with anything, it'll grow and it'll evolve. It has evolved. I have a 16-year-old son and he and I talk about the music that he's listening to. And so hip hop is now branched off into different categories. You've got, you know, street hip hop. You've got what they call like emo, which is like emotional hip hop. You've got rhythmic hip hop, which is more like the sing-songy stuff. So it's going to grow and it's going to evolve, but replace, I can't imagine what it would be replaced by. It is such a pure form of expression. I don't know that that would ever happen. I am very interested though, too, to see where it goes and how it goes. And I think as people who grew up with hip hop, I mean, I'm not quite as old as hip hop, but we're peers, if you will. And I think it's important for us, those sort of old heads, if you will, to continue to keep our ears open and to try to understand and respect what younger people are doing and to not just dismiss it because it sounds different or it looks different. This is how these young people are expressing themselves in 2023. And the world is a very, very different place than 1973. And the music should reflect that.
Well, sadly, that is all the time we have. And Shauna, this has been a fun show. And thank you for sharing your fascinating insight on hip hop music and the culture of hip hop. I'm going to ask you to join me again soon for another edition of PCUSA on the hip hop culture. Well, since we opened the show with Rapper's Delight, why not close the show with Rapper's Delight and the Sugar Hill Gang from WGM and Sugar Hill Record Label?
The hip, however you don't stop. Rock it out, baby, bubble to the boogity, bang, bang, the boogie to the boogity beat. Now what you hear is not a test, I'm rapping to the beat. And me, the groove, and my friends are gonna try to move your feet. You see, I am Wonder Mike, and I like to say hello. Up to the black, to the white, the red, and the brown, and the purple, and yellow. But first, I gotta bang, bang, the boogie to the boogie, say up, jump the boogie to the bang.
Press Conference USA was produced in Washington. I'm Kim Lewis, and my guest is my colleague, music director for VOA 1, and host of today's Hit Countdown and Soul Lounge, Shauna Renee. Join us next week for another Press Conference USA on the Voice of America.